I've got to say, you better do some talking, 'cause my taxi's on its way. We used to set the nights on fire, now every day is the same. Well, now you've got 5 minutes to kindle the flame.
Advertise your business here, where word of mouth reaches more people than ever. Local radio. We're Real Country. 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, O'Galley, Wamundee. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. His father was a famous actor, and by the time he was 20, it was clear that he too was going to carve out a successful career in show business. After starring in the musical television program The Partridge Family, David Cassidy became a global sensation, a teen idol, selling out Madison Square Garden in hours, playing to crowds of 56,000 at the Astrodome in Houston. He sold out Wembley Stadium in England and ignited mass hysteria at many of his shows. But in spite of his enormous success in television, music, stage shows, and more, not everything went perfectly in his life. He battled alcoholism, faced bankruptcy, and died from liver failure in 2017 at the age of 67. A sad end for a man who was greatly loved, immensely talented, and had legions of fans. According to his daughter, his last words were, "So much wasted time." Think about that. So much wasted time. I can't be sure what David Cassidy was referring to when he said that, but there's no doubt he's not the only person to have felt that way. Everyone is given the same amount of time. No matter who you are, every day contains 24 hours. Every week is made up of 7 days. Every year is roughly 365 days long. Life expectancy in the United States is about 78 and a half years. That's more than 28,500 days. In Canada, it's a little less than 82 years, almost 30,000 days. And no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, the clock keeps ticking. Time marches inexorably on. As the Latin phrase states, adapted from a poem written by Virgil just before Jesus was born, "Tempus fugit." Time flies. Which means that right now, you and I are getting older. Your next birthday is getting closer. The return of Jesus is getting nearer. French novelist Victor Hugo said, "Short as life is, we make it still shorter by the careless waste of time. Every second that ticks away into the past is gone forever." Charles Darwin wrote, "A man who dares to waste 1 hour of time has not discovered the value of life." According to Albert Einstein's theory of special relativity, which explains how speed affects mass, time, and space, time would slow down if you were to travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. Now, that's fast enough for someone going that fast to circle the globe 7.5 times in 1 second. Pretty fast. Einstein also theorized that as you get closer to a black hole, the flow of time slows down. And he said that time ticks faster or slower at different elevations on Earth. Life is absolutely governed by time. Without a standardized system for measuring time, society just wouldn't work. Generations ago, the rhythms of life were guided by nature. Farmer Brown rose when the rooster crowed, and once it got dark, the day was essentially done. There were no time zones in the United States until railroads implemented them in the 1800s to standardize times for train schedules. Communities used to set their clocks to noon based on when the sun reached the highest position in the sky. So, the time in Washington, D.C., for example, would be different to the time in New York City. The United States today has 6 time zones. Don't forget Hawaii and Alaska. Canada has 6. Russia has 11 time zones, while China, a little bigger in area than the United States, has just 1. Time regulates our lives. Your job starts at, let's say, 8 a.m., not whenever you feel like it. A production line could never work if people rolled in and out of the factory whenever they felt inclined. You take the 7:15 bus because that's the one that gets you to work on time. You work back from there to calculate what time you have to get out of bed, what time you have to set your alarm clock. But how do time and a person's spiritual life intersect in every way and at every moment? Think of this. Life is the time you spend on earth between 2 points in time. When you're born, time begins for you. When you die, time is done. The clock stops ticking for you. Life is that dash you see on gravestones. Here lies Joan Citizen, 1940-2020. Joan lived for 80 years. That was that. Life is a very finite amount of time. The Bible speaks about our time on this earth being only so long. Psalm 90, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow." The Bible writer says our time on earth is limited, and then says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It's vital to be cognizant of the very limited amount of time we have on this mortal coil, and to use that time wisely. So, what would your life look like if you gathered up the fragments of time and utilized them for your advantage? While one person is frittering away time on social media, another person is practicing guitar. After a year or two of this, you can expect that one person has consumed a whole lot of social media, while the other has learned some pretty decent guitar skills. Might not yet be a virtuoso, but certainly at the point of competence. Let's say you have a 45-minute or an hour-long commute on the subway every day. You could play Candy Crush or listen to music. Or you could read. The average reader can get through a 300-page book in about 8 hours. That's 4 days commuting in this scenario. Let's call it a book a week. Imagine a video game or a book a week. 50 books a year, 100 books in 2 years. The Bible urges us to make the most of the time we have. Proverbs 20:13 says, "Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread." That's an injunction against laziness, and it's God saying, use your time wisely. While you're wasting time, the clock is ticking. And moments frittered away are time you've traded for little or nothing. That's not to say a person shouldn't enjoy downtime. That's important too. Sometimes that's the very best way to spend your time. But time is precious, and wasting it can set you back spiritually. So how can you use the time you have to grow your relationship with God, to prepare yourself for heaven? A saved person and a lost person both have the same amount of time, but one person invests their time in something that matters most, while the other person does not. So how do we make sure our lives are time well spent? We'll find that out in just a moment.
The The Hope of Glory is a new devotional book written by John Bradshaw. Written with you in mind, the 365 Bible-based daily readings cover a wide range of important topics to fuel your spiritual journey. To order The Hope of Glory, call 800-253-3000 or visit us online at itiswritten.shop. It Is Written viewers can use the promo code HOPE when ordering The Hope of Glory to get $5 off the purchase price. The Hope of Glory. Call 800-253-3000 or visit itiswritten.shop.
Thanks for joining me on It Is Written. For most people, life is busy. There's work and home life and obligations and responsibilities that occur outside of all of that. And you've got to take personal time and time for friends and family. It's not uncommon for students to be carrying a heavy class load, as well as working and maintaining friendships and so forth, and then finding out there's very little time left over. Sometimes it seems life is too busy for exercise. Families strain because it can be hard to find enough time to invest in a marriage or to dedicate to children. Some people feel they don't have enough time to eat well. Fast food is such an easy option, and ultimately, your health suffers as a result. So we don't have enough time. Except maybe we do. The Washington Post reported on a study from the CDC that revealed people have, on average, more than 5 hours of leisure time each day. Between 1965 and 2003, the average American work week actually declined by 3 hours, while leisure time increased. In one study of more than 7,000 working Australians, researchers declared that time pressure is an illusion. The research demonstrated people had more free time in their schedules than they thought. Studies show that TV is the leisure activity of choice, taking up almost half of people's leisure time, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics. A report from the CDC suggested devoting 20 or 30 minutes of that time to exercising, and surely that would be a good thing. But the question I want to ask is, how much time are people devoting to God? What about devotional time? No question, it's important to be healthy physically. But how important is it to be healthy spiritually? Your relationship with God is the most important relationship you have, bar none, by a million miles. But relationships are made of time. If you're not putting time into a connection with God, then more than likely, there's no real connection with God. Now, there are some people, mothers of young children, for example, maybe medical students, simply struggle to find time for anything at all. And that's to be understood. These time pressures are real, but they're typically temporary because little children become bigger children and over time require a little less time. And after graduation, or maybe after year two, medical students have it a little better. But the vast majority of the rest of us simply do have the time to invest in spiritual growth, in experiencing God, in character development, in getting to know Jesus as He wants us to know Him. Jesus invites us again and again, "Come to Me, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." That's Isaiah 26:3. Those verses are speaking of a connection built on time. So how do you establish and maintain that connection with God? Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You." Notice that David put God first. Early, before the day consumes your time and attention. The key is to put God first. Pray before you check your email or texts or social media. Read the Bible before you read the news. Don't turn on the TV until after you've spent time with God. Life is busy, and if you allow it to, it'll overwhelm your spiritual life. I'm hearing somebody say, "I leave for work at 6 a.m., and that means I'd have to get out of bed earlier than I do so that I can spend time with God." Now, just a minute. You know what you're talking about here, right? A saving connection with God. It's the most important thing in your life. You just can't afford to say, "My schedule doesn't allow it," or "I'm too busy," or I can't be bothered getting out of bed. If you have an early start, make it earlier. Go to bed half an hour or an hour earlier. You won't regret it. It's what everyone needs. Better to miss a TV program than to not spend time with God. What's actually happening is that people are putting Facebook and Instagram and YouTube or whatever ahead of God, which just makes no sense at all. Now, the person who really does have a jam-packed schedule might need to get creative. It might be that you pray at home and then read your Bible on the train. Or if you can't find as much time as you want, read your Bible when you're waiting for an appointment or at the doctor's office. Gather up the fragments of time and you'll find that they add up to something significant. It's imperative we work this out. Devote time to praying and reading the Bible regularly, daily, and you're investing in the very best that there is. You're doing yourself the biggest favor you could, and you're honoring God and drawing near to His heart. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That's Matthew 6:33. You want to put God first. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," in John 10:27. But without making time for God, you won't hear His voice. In Mark 1, you read that Jesus healed people and cast out demons. Where'd the power to do that come from? Verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Even Jesus recognized the absolute necessity of quality, uninterrupted time with His Father. If it was necessary for Jesus, then you know it's necessary for us. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. You don't want to let anything keep you from connecting with the heart of God. Remember, we're in a spiritual war. There's an enemy doing battle against the people of God. Paul wrote, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places," Ephesians 6:12. John wrote in Revelation that the devil is making war against God's people. Your defense is the presence of God, which you'll experience when you take time with Him. And keep in mind, a devotional life isn't just a duty. It's a privilege. It's a joy. You pray so you can know God. You read the Bible and you grow closer to God as His thoughts fill your mind. Not having enough time shouldn't ever keep you from God. One of the devil's most effective tactics is to make people so busy that they feel that they don't have time for God. He'll distract you so that your life is filled up by other things, many of them good things. And as a result, there's less and less room for the God of heaven. Coming up, long ago, God saw the world as busy as it is, and He intentionally made plans for us to get enough time with Him. How'd He do that? I'll tell you in just a moment.
The Hope of Glory is a new devotional book written by John Bradshaw. Written with you in mind, the 365 Bible-based daily readings cover a wide range of important topics to fuel your spiritual journey. To order The Hope of Glory, call 800-253-3000 or visit us online at itiswritten.shop. It Is Written viewers can use the promo code HOPE when ordering The Hope of Glory to get $5 off the purchase price. The Hope of Glory. Call 800-253-3000 or visit itiswritten.shop.
There are some things you don't want to forget. And there are some things God specifically tells us to remember. At the dawn of time, the Creator of the universe gifted to the human family a divine prescription for combating stress, busyness, and the pressures of daily life. A regular blessing of time spent in the heart of God. Don't miss A Day to Remember. We'll travel to the largest 10 commandments in the world and rediscover heaven's purpose for your life. A Day to Remember, a personal God seeking a meaningful connection with His children. A way forward for spiritual renewal. We'll open the Bible together and learn that God has blessings for His children that are being overlooked and neglected. Get more from God. Go deeper in your faith. A Day to Remember. Watch now on It Is Written TV.
Several years ago, construction began inside a mountain in West Texas on a 10,000-year clock. That is, the clock is intended to keep time for 10,000 years. It'll tick once a year and chime once every 1,000 years. The purpose of the clock, who knows? Funded by Amazon's Jeff Bezos, when it's completed, it's going to be 500 feet tall. It'll be powered by the Earth's thermal cycles, and it'll cost tens of millions of dollars to mark time, almost 2,000 feet above the valley floor inside a mountain hours from the nearest airport. On the campus of the University of Colorado Boulder, there's a strontium optical atomic clock. It's one of the most accurate clocks on the planet. It's said to be accurate to within a second over 15 billion years. That's a long way from obelisks and sundials. And it demonstrates, in some sense, humanity's fascination with time. There have been oodles of books written on time management. Some of them have probably been somewhat useful. But real time management is more than likely real project management or self-management. You can learn to be efficient. You can't stop time. You can't pause time. You can't delay time. And even when you're managing your time, the clock is still ticking. So what's so important that you'd allow it to keep you from spending time with God? Between work and sleep and TV and the internet and shopping and eating and drinking and household responsibilities, you need to find time for God. God said long ago, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." But if you're spending a day a week online and several hours a day in front of the TV, it's hard to imagine there's a whole lot of time left to seek for God. But nothing takes God by surprise. At the very foundation of this world, God took steps to help us prioritize time with Him. He gave us a regular reminder of how important it is to spend time in His presence. What did He do? We go way back to Genesis chapter 2 to find out. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. And knowing humans might just forget to take this time out for God, He went so far as to write it down in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." At the foundation of the world, God impressed upon the human family the importance of taking time for Him. Knowing we'd be pressed, He carved a day out of the rock of time and told us it was imperative that we connect with Him. But fewer people than ever are taking this seriously. God actually gives you a day out each week, a day off, a release valve. Time with Him. Who wouldn't want that? He set it aside as a blessing, telling us the weekly rest day was made for the human family, made with you in mind. Now, many of our grandparents took that seriously, but as the years have passed, we've kind of got away from the importance of time set aside for God. And what day is that, the Sabbath day? The Bible says it's the seventh day, the day that today we call Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week, not the Sabbath. Jesus clearly recommended we keep the Sabbath day holy. The early Christian church did so. It's all through the book of Acts. The book of Revelation says God's people in the end of time will be keeping the commandments of God. And Sabbath rest is so important and so good for us and our relationship with God that God included it in the Ten Commandments. God commands us to rest, to take time out, to pause and rest a while. It's important to Him because He wants the best for you. Instituted at creation, it seems the Sabbath is one thing that has become even more relevant as time has gone on, as society has become busier, as demands on families have increased. God says, time matters. Be sure to take time every week, God says. Sabbath rest on the seventh day. You can think of time as a talent that should be dedicated to God. The value of time is greater than we can calculate, and time is short. James wrote that life is a vapor which appears for a moment and then vanishes away. We've barely begun living, and we're facing the end of our time on earth. We're on this earth to prepare for heaven. That's why we're here. In the parable in Luke 12, a man's fields were very productive, so he built bigger storehouses to store his wealth. God said to him, "This night your soul will be required of you." He died a lost man. He had the same amount of time as anyone else, but he didn't put that time into what really mattered. And when his time was up, it all came crumbling down. Every moment we're given by God is preparatory time. Time that we're going to invest one way or another. Think of the last 24 hours, or maybe your last week. How much of that time have you invested in eternity? The Bible says we should redeem the time, which means make the most of the time we have. You have time? Use it for good. Use it to invest in yourself and in others. Use it to better the world. Use it to grow your relationship with God. Time wasted is time you can't get back. Like so many others, David Cassidy understood that. Too late. Is it time for you to reassess the way you're using your time? Are you spending adequate time with God? Without that time, you'll fall when temptation comes, and it'll be impossible to reflect the character of Jesus. Without time in the presence of God, transformation doesn't take place, and your mind isn't anchored in the things of heaven. Instead, it's all over the place. God calls you to time with Him every day and to weekly rest where the world takes a back seat and you're liberated to focus on God and the things of heaven and to enjoy His presence. If you've not been taking time for God like you should, we'll pray and ask that will change. We'll ask God to lead you in working it out so that you're spending quality time with Him. Through time in His presence, you can grow unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Only with Him. Never without time with Him. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Let me pray for you. Let's pray together that your time on this earth would be time well spent. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of time. We all have the same amount of time every day, different responsibilities, different lives, but the same amount of time. Teach us, Lord, to invest our time wisely, putting you first, not giving you the leftovers of our lives. And we thank you that you always take time for us. You're always present, always near, always listening. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus came to this earth and gave all of his time for us. Give us grace to honor his investment in us, that we'll have an eternity of time to spend with you. Friend, can you ask God now to guide you so that you have time for him? Quality time. Bless us to that end, Lord, we ask of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durant Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low to mid 80s. For tonight, maybe some patchy fog, otherwise partly cloudy and lows around 64. For Monday, mostly sunny, highs near 84. Sunshine on Tuesday with a high near 83, 82 on Wednesday. Showers and storms return for Wednesday night into Thursday. Lows in the low 60s, highs in the low 80s.
Right now, it's 70.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. It's good to be together. You might be thrown off. I don't usually wear red unless it's Pentecost or Reformation or something, but this afternoon I get to go and attend the installation of our new bishop, Reverend Martin Hallam, and the color of the day is red, so I just had to wear red for the day because it's a fast turnaround. So hold him and his family and our synod in your prayers as he's installed today and begins his work as our bishop. We continue today our theme of neighbor for our scripture and preaching. And if you were here last week, you know that we're kind of trying to ask some good questions around what it means to be a good neighbor. And so this week, our scripture is on the story of from the book of Ruth, the story of Naomi. And so our question today might seem a little obscure, like how is there a sermon in there? But you'll find out. The question is this Naomi? And so we'll learn more about that as we talk about being good neighbors. Our radio sponsor today is Linda Krinke, sponsoring in celebration of her husband Ron's 70th birthday. Ron happens to be my dad, and we happened to celebrate his birthday yesterday, and it was great. So we say happy birthday to him and thank my mom for her sponsorship. Name Tag Sunday, thank you again for putting name tags on. It's an opportunity as we focus on being good neighbors to learn the names of the people that we worship with and to try to take some time to introduce ourselves to one another. We've got a sign up. What is that one for? I've got one here too. Oh, okay, great. So we have two sign-ups that are going to come around. One from the back that is for signing up for fellowship and other ways to assist in worship. So if you're able to provide a snack for after worship or make the coffee, you can sign up for that. And then the other sign up I have is for Sunday supper, which is coming up 2 weeks from today. We're looking for people to help set up after church, someone to call bingo, some apple crisps, so if you like to bake and want to make one of those, and then some help serving and cleaning up. That being said, I know our confirmation family signed up for helping with Sunday suppers. I just don't have that sign up right in front of me, so if you're one of the families that did sign up and you know you did for September, maybe just fill it back in. So, do you need to look at that at all? You would be a good bingo caller. You have a really good voice that carries. But then you wouldn't be able to win prizes, so it's a tough choice. A reminder that we're collecting photos for our picture board that's in the back, and slowly we're adding to those. So if you have a family photo that you would like to submit, we would love to have your photo on our picture board. Another way of greeting people as they walk through our doors to see who we are as the people of faith. Last Wednesday, Faith Lift, our confirmation program, kicked off, and it was It was awesome. I really loved the gathering that we had with parents and students and AAA adults and families that were there. So then this Wednesday, we start our regular learning nights. So they'll be from 4 to 5:30. So right after school, they'll be pickup. If your kids need to be picked up, we'll have a snack for them. And then we'll have class until 5:30. So remember to come to Faith on Wednesday after school. The other thing that's starting this week is also on Wednesday, our senior high youth group will be gathering from 7 to 9 p.m. at Club 10 for Faith 5 at Club 10. So we'll start with trivia and a little food and some drinks, and then we'll have some faith formation activities as well. So, Addie and Maria, be there. Bring a friend. Got it? A reminder, too, if you're an eighth grader, you are also invited to senior high youth group because it helps you prepare if you want to be part of our mission trip next summer to get to know the group that's going. So 8th through 12th graders are invited to come there. We're still collecting one more week. We're collecting school supplies for Lutheran World Relief, and the drawstring backpacks and shopping lists are still in the narthex on the pew. And so if you have time to do some shopping this week and want to fill one up, you can do that and return it by next week. We are also still collecting diapers and wipes and other baby supplies for God's Work, Our Hands, that will benefit the baby and toddler closet that's housed here in the basement at Faith Lutheran. So there's still time to bring items for that as well. We'll be doing that throughout the month of September. Is there a couple things related to Rock Creek? Are there any other announcements this morning? All right, then I'm going to invite the children to come forward for a children's message. I realize that slide didn't land in the right place on the slideshow, but we're going to do the children's message now so that you can head down to Sunday school after. So come on up. Gather together here. Come on forward. It's so good to see all of you. Look at the crowd today. Well, your Sunday school teachers are excited to work with you again today. They're sitting right over there, and they're going to head down with you when we're done with our message. But I'm wondering, you're back to school now. Some of you might even be in kindergarten, but surely almost all of you have had kindergarten. What are some of the first letters that you learn when you are in kindergarten? A. And then what else might you learn? B. What's next, Aubrey? C, right? We learn our ABCs. In Sunday school right now, you are learning about the creation story, what happened in the very beginning of the world, right? In the beginning. And when we begin learning as young kids, we begin with our ABCs. And so when you're downstairs for Sunday school, you're learning about the start of creation, the very beginning. And up here, we're learning about being a good neighbor. And so I got to thinking, like, what are the ABCs of being a good neighbor? And so I came up with something that I want to share with you. And then when you're in Sunday school, you're going to talk a little bit more about this as it relates to the things that God has created. So to be a good neighbor, we have to, our A is that we have to be aware that there are other people and other creatures around us, right? God has given us animals and people and all kinds of things to take care of. So we have to be aware of that. We have to notice someone besides ourselves, right? Look around a second, notice someone, be aware of someone that's sitting by you. And you know what? Everyone has name tags. You can introduce yourself even. Right? So we become aware of the people that God and the people and the creatures that God gives us to care for. And then we have to bear witness. Now that's kind of a big phrase, but bearing witness basically means to help someone when they have something that they need to tell us or something that they're going through, right? We're witnessing, we're noticing what is going on in their life, and we're there to help them, right? So we have to bear with people, not a bear like an animal, right? But to bear is to like spend time with someone, to be with them. And then we have to care for other people and other creatures, right? There's all kinds of ways that we can lend a helping hand. And then the S, the ABCs, and then we got the S on there, is to share. How did you help someone? Who did you meet? Who did you become aware of? Because if I say that to Olivia, then she might be like, you know what? I want to go help someone. I'm going to share with someone, right? So we have the ABCs. We've got being aware, bear, care, and share. They're starting to kind of sound like the Care Bears, aren't they? Yeah, right? Remember the Care Bears? I had the original Care Bears, like when they were back in the day. But now they're back. Anyway, I want to encourage you to remember the ABCs of your faith as you go to Sunday school and as you go back to school tomorrow, as you're with your families, as you're in your neighborhood, because it helps us to be good neighbors to one another, and it helps us to share God's love with one another. So I'm thankful for all of you. I hope that you know God loves you, and I hope that you will have a great time in Sunday school. Follow your teachers. They are so ready. They're excited. And we'll see you after. Now we should be good. Okay. I'll invite the congregation to stand as you are able. Please stand for our order of confession and forgiveness. Even as we gather together as one in Christ's name, there is division and turmoil in God's world. Let us confess how we have contributed to that discord through our words and actions, through our complacency and inaction. Thank you. Right there. We confess. Holy One, we gather here knowing that we struggle to see our neighbors as your children too. We make excuses, we separate the world's people into good and bad. We blame others for things they cannot control or change. We hope someone else will do the hard work of creating diverse, inclusive community. Forgive us and make us newly open to your command to love you and others. Teach us to love our neighbors as ourselves and look for your image in them. Amen. Our God of mercy and grace teaches us to love through loving us even as we are still learning. Your sins are forgiven in the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our guide and advocate. Welcome to worship this day. We come eager to find wisdom we need for our lives. Welcome whoever you are, however you show up in this space. Here we remember that we are all children of God. We come open to seeing one another in new ways because of the gospel. Welcome to this hour where we are grace found, not rule bound. We come to learn again how to love our neighbors as ourselves and share the bread of life with all. Welcome to worship this day. It is good to be the church together in this place. We'll sing together our opening hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. The words are on the screen, and this is also in your green hymnal 370.
Blessed be the tie that binds hearts in Christian love. The unity of heart and mind is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our burden, burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. From sorrow's toil and pain and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of love, Teach us to ask good questions that lead us into deep, authentic relationship with our neighbors, near and far. Remind us that they, like us, are made in your image. Help us celebrate our shared humanity and delight in our differences. Let your words speak to our hearts as we seek to love our neighbors as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and we'll continue with our centering song.
Bad news everywhere. Broken hearts in need of prayer. But there's hope in His grace, and together we can give it away. Why do we hesitate? One day might be too late. We gotta share the gospel from our heart, 'cause there's no better place to start. Oh, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. We got to love one another. Oh, love your neighbor as yourself. Come on, church, let's change the game. Show the power in Jesus' name. Love the lost and the hurtful too. Remember who is living in you. We got to love one another. Oh, love your neighbor as yourself. Nobody knows when the day will come. Prophet or angel above. Oh, all we know is that the world will bow when He comes in on the cloud.
As you're able, as we welcome the word.
As you fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are wealthy and poor, varied in color and race. Neighbors are nearby and far away. Yesu, how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Ruth, the first chapter. And you can go through, the words are on the screen. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have my sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." And then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and then I will be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So the story that we hear today from the book of Ruth is about three women, all widows, named Orpah, Ruth, and Naomi. And often the focus of this story, if you're familiar with it, is on Ruth's decision to abide with her mother-in-law, Naomi, despite their familial connection having been severed following the death of Ruth's husband, who had been Naomi's son. Ruth is the daughter-in-law who stays with her mother-in-law, even when the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, chooses to return home. Even the book of the Bible that this story comes from is entitled Ruth, the book of Ruth. However, today the question that rises up out of the scripture reading focuses us squarely on Naomi's part of the story. Our question today is just three words: is this Naomi? If you were here last week, you might remember that at the start of this preaching theme on neighbor, I lifted up something, an overarching question that we're going to sit with throughout these 4 weeks. And that question is this. The question is not, what do our church members want, but what do our neighbors need? And so last week in the story of the Good Samaritan, the religious scholar was challenged by Jesus' definition of what it means to be a good neighbor to others in need. And this week, with the question, is this Naomi? Our focus around what our neighbor needs is to recognize the human need to be known, to be loved right where we're at, especially when the life that we had hoped for falls apart. So what we have to remember about this story of Naomi is that when she left her hometown, when she left Bethlehem, she was accompanied by her husband and her two sons. They left as a family of four, before her husband died in Moab. But then her sons married two Moabite women, right? Ruth and Orpah. And they had high hopes for their future. But 10 years later, a decade later, Naomi returned with Ruth to Bethlehem, mourning and grieving and depleted, as they were now just a family of two. So when the people asked, "Is this Naomi?" perhaps the question came from a place of truly wondering, can this be Naomi, right? The woman that left 10 years ago with so many hopes. Where's her husband? Why does she look so forlorn and worn out? Where are her sons? Why is Ruth with her but not Orpah? The question that was asked aloud was, is this Naomi? But it infers a lot more. It infers, how can this be Naomi? What has become of Naomi? What has transpired in her life since we last saw her with her husbands and her sons, right? All these questions were stirring around in the minds and the voices of her neighbors. And Naomi's response to both the question that was asked and the inferred questions was simply, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Naomi had left Bethlehem with the security of a husband and two sons, with promises of future daughter-in-laws, probably grandchildren, continued generations that might prosper. She had gone away from that place full in all the ways that were expected of a woman in her time. Her life was headed in the proper trajectory, but then a devastating, unexpected turn of events left her mourning the loss of her husband and then both of her sons as well. So upon her unexpected return to Bethlehem, the people greet her with the question, is this Naomi? And Naomi responds, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. As we consider Naomi's life situation in the midst of this neighbor theme, and our commitment to answering the question, what do our neighbors need? It would be wise for us to recognize that there are Naomis in our community. There are people who over time have left this worshiping community or other worshiping communities whose lives have gotten full with other things that didn't lend themselves to continued participation in the life of the church. But then sometimes unexpected, difficult things happen that bring people back to a community of faith. People who, just like Naomi, went away full and are brought back empty. And when that happens, it's so tempting for us to react like Naomi's community did, wondering silently to ourselves or maybe in small whispered groups, is this so-and-so? What happened to them, right? Where's their spouse? Did you hear about, and you can fill in the blank, with whatever life circumstances might follow people back into a community of faith. But as neighbors in Christ, we need to be ready to graciously welcome back those who find the courage to return empty. Returning here looking to be filled again with God's love and hope in this place. It was a brave thing for Naomi to return to her people with so much of her status and her security having been stripped away. It's a brave thing for people to return to a community of faith when they've been absent for a time. And so they ought to be able to return without feeling like they owe an explanation or have to sit in the back row so that they can leave after communion in order to avoid people's questions that might put them in a quandary. The church is a community of people, and the sanctuary in which we gather should be a place of welcome for those who are most empty. People ought to feel like they can come here no matter their circumstances, trusting that they will be welcomed and given the space that they need to receive God's love and grace without question or inquisition. And here's the key thing for us to notice about Naomi and her response to the people questioning her, if we're looking for the good news in this story, right? So when they say, is this Naomi? Naomi says, the Lord has brought me back. In saying this, in saying that the Lord has brought me back, Naomi, despite all of her losses, and maybe her feeling that God has caused calamity to fall upon her, because she articulates that, right? Despite her despair, she still acknowledges that it is the Lord who brought her back. It's the Lord that's with her, bringing her back to her community. And God could have led Naomi anywhere. She could have gone with Ruth or Orpah to their family, right? But instead, something within her spirit knew that she was being led back to the people and the place that she had left when she was on the upswing. And the same is true for people in our community who maybe haven't worshiped with us for a really long time, especially when they return to us empty, looking to be filled up spiritually. It's then that we have the privilege and the responsibility to receive them with joy and humility and without question. As if we've been expecting them all along, as if we've been praying that they might sometime return to us, because some of us have been. And so really the only question that we should be asking is, what do our neighbors need when they find their way back to this sacred space? And this question is easier for us to answer if first we can believe that it is the Lord who brings people back into communities of faith. People returning to the church after a long absence are surely led by the Spirit to do so. It's not by accident that they make an effort to walk back through the door, and it isn't an easy thing to do when they're running on empty. The good news is that when we gather here, all of us as the people of God, we get to gather around the font and around the table where there is room for everyone. In the sacramental life that we share, we, all of us together, are strengthened. We always leave this space fuller than we came to it, and we can always trust that we are known here by name. So when someone does return to this community of faith, let us not, like Naomi's community, ask from a distance, is that Naomi, right? But instead, like an expectant and good neighbor, let us go to them with open arms and say, it's Naomi, right? We're so happy to see you. Because in doing so, we express our gratitude that God has returned them to us and to this sacred life that we get to share together as neighbors in Christ.